RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Coming up a little bit later today, we'll get with Derek Johnson. Leave what? Last time, maybe one more time. And then we'll have Josh Klingler on the show as well at 8:25.
Yeah, second to last time, you're right.
Yep. That's right. And then the over-under we've set today is it'll be Binkley and Nathan from 10 to 2. Cody and Gold both out. Binkley's arrival to the station over or under 7:35 a.m.
Send in your guesses.
That guy's an idiot, man.
913-586-7965. Damn, glad to have you back. But yeah, 7:35 over under. Show starts at 10 a.m. Again, gotta do some prep.
Hey, gotta do some prep.
But I am interested to know. 7:35, 913-586-7965 over under for Pink. That's Mac Morey. I'm Dusty Likens. We are here with you on a Monday. We'll be back tomorrow as well. Then we'll all ring in the new year together off the clock, and we'll be back the following Monday as a full team with Fesco in the house as well.
Are you doing anything?
For what?
New Year's?
I'm old, man.
Going out? You doing anything?
I mean, I think a buddy of mine wants to have like a game night.
Oh, that's great. That's my vibe. So house party type.
And my game that I want to play is Pictionary.
Okay. I love Pictionary.
Big game. Fun game.
Yes.
Everybody's involved.
I was going to say, very involved. Yes. That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. So that's fun.
And that's great.
You know, you can also do like Cards Against Humanity. Find out who's like who's kind of, you know, that person. You know, you're like, Ashley, what in the world?
Wow.
That's what's on your mind? Okay, you can have that card. I don't know. You have the house now here, so like you could just chill with the lady.
Yeah, they will probably do that. Probably have friends over. We usually do that and have everyone at our place, and she kind of wants to go out, so we may do something like that, but I haven't really looked into that.
You should go to Maloney's.
That's what I'm thinking. That's kind of was my first
close
suggestion.
Close to the house.
Yep, exactly.
Still do the, you know, cheers at midnight. Get home by 12:15.
Exactly, yes.
You know what I mean?
You are speaking my language. Okay. That's what I'm thinking too. And plus, Rob may be there.
Yeah. I mean, that's where he met his wife.
Let's go party.
From the 913.
Well, not that Rob, but him too.
Oh, yeah. Rob Maloney.
Yeah.
So 913 says under for Bink. Another 913 says under at 729 with a dip already in his mouth.
That's minus 1,000.
Pa for the course. So yeah, 735 is the over under for Binkley's arrival. But New Year's is always kind of interesting because, you know, back in the day, it was always the VIP parties. You get top shelf. At the time, I didn't know Canadian Mist was a top shelf liquor. They got me.
Yeah.
You get a free check-in with your coat. Oh, actually, that's the best vibe of the night. What's the name? Likens. Okay, here's your jacket. Have a great night. See
you
later.
That's nice. That's nice.
But yeah, no, it's, yeah, so we'll see. Somebody says, what? Binkley's not sleeping at the office? Over.
That's fair.
And you know he's listening, so now he's going to tamper with the line.
Of course.
And then someone wants to ask, Mac plays disc golf.
Yes, oh, heck yeah, bro.
Absolutely.
Banging chains.
That's where it comes from? I thought it was from basketball.
You can do it there too, but no, I use it for chucking the rub.
So let's have a conversation about Josh Allen. Because I think this is one of those years where we are kind of in that mold of it's been an odd year in the NFL. And a lot of people can say it's odd because we're not seeing the Kansas City Chiefs necessarily in the playoffs, or we're not seeing another can Mahomes get to it again? Will the AFC Championship game again be an Arrowhead? That story's gone. And you know, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, we've kind of followed that the last couple of weeks. And we'll see what Lamar Jackson can do. Because we talked about it in the last segment that now Pittsburgh and Baltimore will play each other heads up. Winner goes to playoff, loser goes home, winner's the four seed and wins the North. And Josh Allen is still, to me, if not the biggest, the biggest storyline going into the 2025-2026 NFL playoffs. Because there's two ways to look at this situation. And I think the two ways to look at this situation is this is a year in which the big dogs possibly aren't in it. And when I say the big dogs of the last 7 years, which is Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson, right? Those are the what we consider the guys in the AFC that always seem to, you know, be the ones that are like, well, where are these teams going to be at when it comes to January and where, you know, the playoffs are going to be. And we know that Mahomes and Burrow will not be in it. We don't know about Lamar Jackson yet, but either way we can look at it. This has not been a Lamar Jackson-ish year, right? Like it is not just, it's just been injury prone. He's been off. It's not great. But yet here we are at the end of the season because their division, sadly, is the worst division in the AFC. You could be like, well, what about the South? Well, look at Jacksonville, look at Indianapolis all the year long. And then you look at Houston, who looks an amazing team, like Justin Herbert.
They're closer to the best division in the AFC, honestly. Right.
And maybe it's the AFC East, but then you have the Patriots and the Bills who aren't at the top. But either way, you look at Josh Allen's playoff resume, it's always been gets knocked out by Burrow or Mahomes. Burrow's done it, what, once? Mahomes has done it four times.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, those guys aren't involved. And Josh Allen now is going to be possibly the sixth or the seventh seed in the playoffs, which means he's going to play the winner of the South, or he's going to play who doesn't get the one seed, which is either the Broncos or the Patriots.
Yep.
So either way you want to look at it, his matchup will consist of one of four quarterbacks as of today. CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, Drake May. Okay. None of those guys have done anything remotely close to what the guys in the past have done to knock him out. So if he does win this one, if he does go to the Super Bowl and they say the Bills do win, is it more of an asterisk on Josh Allen this year that he did it without Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and possibly Lamar Jackson in the playoffs? Or is it more of an asterisk if he doesn't get it done this year?
I think it's more of a specific. I think it's more of an asterisk if he wins. The asterisk isn't if he doesn't win. It's more of a just a complete knock against his total legacy. Whereas if he wins, it'll help him in the future as far as when we talk about Josh Allen, but around his predecessors, his peers, rather, he will forever be lesser than with that asterisk if this is the only one he does win.
Because this is a year in which, you know, last year he wins the MVP, congratulations, there's a debate to be had. And then when you look at this year, it's more of like, okay, well, this is where, you know, the chip's set. Like, this is where you have the most experience. You are the dude. The other dudes aren't here.
Yep.
You have a chance to kind of go show these kids and these other teams, you know, where it's at. And the reason that I question this now is because of the way that game was yesterday. And he's not 100%. Nobody is this time of year, right? But again, like, I'm not trying to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but the world seems to always do that. Or they like to put him above Patrick Mahomes or in the same room as Patrick Mahomes. And we've seen Mahomes with a bummed ankle in multiple playoff runs and still seemingly be able to execute. And yesterday when they played the Philadelphia Eagles, they lost that game. And Josh Allen was taken away from one of his main parts of that game because of the injury to his lower leg. And then, as you had mentioned, which I think is still a pretty solid take, that they went for two, even though they're at home and had scored 12 unanswered and could have just put that extra point away and went to overtime. Your theory is they didn't want to do that because they want to get him off the field. Wrap that leg up and get it ready for the playoff run.
Exactly.
We're in the playoffs. We already know that. This game really doesn't mean a whole lot. We can't win our division, or they could, but like, that's interesting. Because if Josh Allen does play scared to continue to get hurt, then I'm interested to see what Bills team we see. Because we've seen Mahomes' ankle against the Philadelphia Eagles in a Super Bowl, and he made the longest run of his career. 28-yard run for a first down to end the game. And it wasn't like he was, you know, taken away or no. They didn't, you know, make plays or schedule the offense around an injured Patrick Mahomes. They said, hey, tape it up, get out there, and let's see what you can do with it.
Rub some dirt on it.
There
let's
was
go.
Not that sort of, and again, last night, terrible conditions.
Yeah, I get it.
Wet field, cold, windy, rainy. maybe the game didn't mean as much. And it's like, hey, just get us to the playoffs in the AFC because it's wide open. Anybody can win it. We still believe in that theory. But Josh Allen did not look the same. The Bills did not look the same. And it looked kind of different. And I wonder if he does not get it done in this sort of year, in the AFC at least, or at least get to the AFC Championship game and win that game and get to the Super Bowl. Because could you imagine if they play that game last night in a rematch and Josh Allen gets the Bills to their fifth Super Bowl and they play the Philadelphia Eagles and lose? The Bills would always go to the Super Bowl and lose to the NFC East.
Yep,
that's they lost to Dallas twice, the Giants, the Washington Redskins at the time.
It is crazy.
And then they would lose to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, I think that last night added more pressure to Josh Allen to get it done with that loss. Because he didn't make the throw. And the moment that he had to make the throw, he did not make the throw. Play design was great. Cannot knock Sean McDermott for that play design.
Nope.
Maybe the decision, we could sit here until 10 a.m. discussing the decision.
Yeah. Pros, cons, all those
but
things,
again,
right? Yeah.
He took his athletic MVP quarterback and drew a play with a drag in the back of the end zone, and he missed him. Now, whether that was injury related, whether that was, you know, wet ball condition related, either way, the man who's supposed to make the play didn't make the play. And I wonder if that will be foreshadowing moving forward into the playoffs. If there is that situation again, can Josh Allen get it done? Because in big games, Josh Allen isn't getting it done. Now, he did in the 13-second game, but he did, but he didn't.
Yeah, he did his part. But again, that we're not going to remember it that way. You and I will, because we're close to the situation. We watched that game. We're Chiefs fans. But when people look at it in the history books, 0-4, that's what it's going to be, right? It's he lost that Eagles game. Oh, he couldn't get it done. Like, they're not going to remember all that other stuff. And I think here in Kansas City, I think we'll talk about it maybe later in the 7 o'clock hour, about how, at least in my opinion, I think some people are waking up like, oh, wow, we're seeing how good what Patrick Mahomes did for this team, how he kind of masked some of the deficiencies on offense for so long with how good he was. I think just as far as the national perspective, too, in the NFL, we're all going to go, oh, we took for granted how special Patrick Mahomes was. And you mentioned on one leg. I mean, I don't really care about the conditions, dude. I don't give a rip. If we're talking about how special you are, we're talking about you're the best player in the NFL. We're talking about you as Hall of Fame. We're talking about Josh Allen, if he continues this trajectory in his career, being top 15, top 10 all time. That's where his ceiling really is. I saw Mahomes come back from a severe leg injury in a playoff game, in a cold ass game at Arrowhead against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he went back and won that game in cold weather. Like, so I don't really know, because I know how cold it was. I was there. So I don't really care about the conditions. Like, this is the standard you are set. Like, oh, it's so hard to meet. Yeah. Like, it sucks. Like, being this good comes with the cons as well of, like, being held to a high standard that's not always justified or fair or even meetable. Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, right? And Tom Brady, or Josh Allen's Tom Brady, happens to be Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think he's ever going to meet that standard.
We'll see. Somebody says, quit living in the past. Have you seen Patrick Mahomes last two seasons? He is not at Josh Allen's level. Well, when you talk about legacies, you talk about the past. And when we talk about legacies of Josh Allen, it's, if not now, when? Is it going to be the John Elway story? That it's going to be 37-38, he wins back-to-backs and rides off into the sunset? If so, congratulations. But if not now, then when?
Also, it's that text just sucks, because quit living in the past. Have you seen the last 2 years? You literally just talked about the past. Quit living in the past. Also, I have seen the last 2 years. Mahomes beat Josh Allen last season. Mm. Outplayed him in that game.
You can't really drop your microphone there, but you should. I think one thing, before we get into an overreaction, I think one thing that's been very evidently obvious this year is coaching.
Damn, yes, dude, yes.
You can look last night at the game. Kyle Shanahan is a perfect example of that, right? Yeah. You've seen what he's done with that team, where they're at with that team now, 12-4. That game was electric last night. You knew from the jump that game was going to come down to the wire. It was going to be one of those games. What, there was 42 points in the first quarter. First play of the game is a pick six. Caleb Williams comes all the way back down, and they score a touchdown. And again, that is another notch on this season's coaching bulletin board. Ben Johnson has not completely fixed Caleb Williams yet. There are still multiple holes in his game, but look at the holes that he's fixed this year and where Caleb is at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The accuracy is still an issue. The happy feet is still an issue, but they're winning games. They're a playoff team, and the system is working. I'll keep reminding you of systems at work. Go look at Jacksonville.
Exactly.
Liam Cohen goes there. We make fun of him. Call him Willy Wonka, Duval, and all that sort of stuff. Trevor Lawrence has never looked better, because their system is working. You look at, you know, other places where these are working. You look at Canales and
Dave Canales in Carolina.
Carolina.
Yep.
their system is working because he has got them to believe in it. You look at Vrabel and that system. He's not worried about Drake May or the offense. He's got Josh McDaniels, and he's saying, hey, you just stick with Drake May, who, by the way, 5 touchdowns yesterday, 300-plus yeah. yards or whatever it was, 400 yards, gets the Jets, non-primetime game. No one will know about it unless they look at the stat line, but maybe took a big leap towards the MVP. We'll see what Stafford does tonight against Atlanta, and then tomorrow morning we'll have that discussion of who we think will end up winning it. I'm very interested to see what Stafford does against Atlanta on a standalone primetime game. Advantage Stafford if he can play well.
Yep, but right now minus 250.
But you look at what has happened in this league. You look at the way Sean Payton has developed Bo Nix into his system. It's working. You look at the way that these teams have worked with their systems, and then you take those systems away. I give you an example of Detroit. I give you an example of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
Where are their coordinators and what are their coordinators doing? Ben Johnson has turned around the Chicago Bears franchise, and he is starting to fix Caleb Williams before our eyes. You look at where, obviously, Aaron Glenn is out as a defensive coordinator in Detroit, but he's going to have time to fix things in New York. They're just a busted franchise that need a lot of help, but he's Baltimore, not there.
Baltimore, too. I mean, that defense is terrible. And Mike McDonald, what are they doing in Seattle? Top five defense.
Crushing people.
Yes.
Coaching has never been more evidently obvious that it's the coach and the system in this league than it is than maybe being like, all right, quarterback, go do it. Go figure it out. You're a high pick. You're talented. Go figure it out. Right? And when you learn things in life, it's always about who taught you that lesson or who taught you that sort of technique, right? When you first learn to ride a bike, you know, not a lot of people are told, hey, just go figure it out. You might have a buddy that helps you. You might have a parent that helped you. Or when you learn to drive, you know, your parents didn't say, here's the keys, figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, parent or older brother or aunt or uncle or whoever taught you how to drive, grandma or grandpa, kind of gave you their pointers and then let you kind of incorporate them to become the person that you are at that skill set. And that's what we are seeing with these coaches in this league, whether they are coordinators, whether they are young, if their system is working, it is evidently obvious that that is what's made teams successful. And even though you might think Liam Cohen is goofy, even though you might not trust Dave Canales, I will tell you this right now, Bryce Young has played better this year. I have not seen Trevor Lawrence play at this level before, and I'm watching Caleb Williams be developed between our eyes. It's evidently obvious, and these teams are doing it because of the head coaching and the systems.
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan's been doing it for years. And Brock Purdy last night throws a pick, and then all of a sudden comes back and is like, okay, I'll throw for 300.
That leads me perfectly into my overreaction. He is the coach of the year, and that's not enough of the overreaction because right now it's plus 130, plus 140. It's a two-man race. Dustin.
Between he and Vrabel?
Him and Vrabel, right? He's the second-best coach in the NFL, and I'll add on to that. He's been the second-best coach in the NFL since 2019. He's been the second-best coach in the NFL for this whole time. This whole run, when they've been going to Super Bowls and NFC championships, we've been trying to say, oh, well, Harbaugh, no, Tomlin's been there, the winner. Like, no, like, it's none of these guys. It is Kyle Shanahan, and it's because of what you're saying. Give him C.J. Beathard. Give him Jimmy Garoppolo. Give him Trey Lance for a little bit. Give him Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy looks like the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Was it Zach Wilson he was doing stuff with this year?
Yeah. Was it Zach Wilson?
I don't know. It wasn't Zach Wilson. It was the guy that was in New England.
Oh, yeah. Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
Killed it with Mac Jones. His revitalized career. Mac Jones is going to go make money this offseason.
Yeah.
I mean,
he literally makes chicken salad with chicken stuff.
He does it every time. I mean, Sam Darnold didn't play for San Francisco. Had he, still would have done on and did what he did. But he got another chance in Seattle, I think, probably because, or rather in Minnesota, because of what he was doing in San Francisco just behind the scenes. And they went and saw him, like, wow, he's really improved. Probably because he was with Kyle Shanahan for a whole season. He's like, I think I've said this before, but it's like in SpongeBob when Plankton gets in the head of that guy and tries to go steal the Krabby Patty formula. He's controlling everything. That's what he does with quarterbacks. He gets in their heads. I don't think it's the best developmental coach, but he can teach you a system and teach you how to run it like a robot. And he's done that with Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy now at this point knows that system so well where he can do the robotic stuff. He knows 1, 2, 3. And now you add that athleticism, add his little spice that he brings to it. Mm. It seems like this is the first time Kyle Shanahan has now had a QB who knows how to do everything that he does, that he's taught him, and a little bit more. And I can add my athleticism. I can run a little bit. I can extend a play. Mm. Man, the Niners have ticked up in my max pack. I think we're going to do it tomorrow just because we're not here on Wednesday. So I'm doing my top five teams tomorrow. Mm. They may be featured, man. Kyle Shanahan's the second best coach in the NFL.
Is McVay third?
Yes.
Is it close?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'd be okay if someone said he's second.
Mm.
He's top three.
He's solid. He's there until he wants to be there. Or until he doesn't want to be there.
100%.
Another system that's working that we should give credit to? How about Brian Schottenheimer?
Yeah, absolutely. We need to talk about him more. Because we clowned him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Schottenheimer, he's never done anything. Oh, Jerry Jones.
Like, Brian Schottenheimer, he's wearing his visor backwards.
Yeah,
he's not serious. Yeah. He haven't earned the wear it backwards, and he is. He's wearing it backwards. He is. Dallas is a team again. I don't know if we'll hear that on the herd later today, but my overreaction came from Saturday night. Derrick Henry is the best running back. I'm sorry, the greatest running back I have ever seen play the sport of football.
Wow.
He is. He's the greatest running back I've ever seen play football. When there was a game where, and maybe you've had this before in your life in Little League, where there's just one kid that's just insanely better than everybody else on the field or on the court or wherever, you just sit back and you say, let's see what he can do. And a lot of those times, that kid takes control of the game, just completely runs away with it, and you're like, all right, this pitcher throws 80. We're all like 13 years old. No one's touched him. Plus, he can hit the ball wherever he wants. They win the game. He has 10 strikeouts. He has 2 home runs. They win the game 2-0. It's because of one kid. Saturday night, the Baltimore Ravens and Derrick Henry just said, we're feeding 22.
Yep.
Take advantage of this game. Nobody's starting court. Malik Willis didn't play terrible at all.
He's good, too.
And Derrick Henry ran all over. And we should have seen it. We should have seen this. Because we saw the high school players that played against Derrick Henry. And we've seen this all before, right? Darnell Washington's videos of him being in high school are insane.
Unreal.
Sucks that his arm got broke yesterday.
Yeah, that blows.
But we saw those, and we've seen these sort of videos where, like, a guy is just, but Derrick Henry was a monster among just, like, men. Just an absolute machine. And then he goes to college, and he wins the Heisman Trophy at Alabama. And then he goes to the pros, and we see what he does in Tennessee. And we've seen what he did as a running back there. He's like, we can't stop him. He's, you know, can take it off from the 10 to the end zone and just run away with it. Biggest guy, don't want to attack him in the open field. And then now we see what he did against Green Bay. And a must-win game, they put the game on his shoulders, 4 touchdowns, 200 yards rushing. It's the greatest running back I've ever seen. And there's a reason why his name is King Henry. He is the king of kings when it comes to running backs.
Turns 35 in just a few days.
Insane.
This is a down season for Derrick Henry. He's going to have over 1,500 yards. He's got 16 touchdowns.
He's just...
Turns 32, sorry.
And again, I grew up watching Terrell Davis, Jamaal Charles.
Yeah.
You know, guys like Ahmad Green were good, not great. I don't know why that name came to my head, but like Christian McCaffrey's not the same running back as Derrick Henry. He's a better athlete, in my opinion.
Agreed.
But he's not a better running back.
Agreed.
Adrian Peterson was the best I had seen until Derrick Henry.
I was going to say that would be the one that I'm trying to think.
And he's better than Adrian Peterson. He is.
I don't hate the take, man. And especially because of the longevity, what he's doing. And what he's done, think about the Titans teams that he was on. Not those 2 seasons where they went to the playoffs. Like those other teams where he was getting 15, 16, 1,700 yards every year behind that O-line. Unreal.
Greatest running back I've ever seen in my life. That is an overreaction on a Monday. Coming up on the other side, the AFC is wide open and what Sunday's games or Saturday's games could show us for the future when it comes to seeding and the playoffs here on 96.5 The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com.
Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson every Monday at 7:20, right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.